Right, if you would take a Bible and turn to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 4. If you're using a pew Bible, you're on page 129. We'll be in Deuteronomy today, and then the next two Sundays are Ascension Sunday, and then the following one will be Pentecost Sunday. So we will interrupt our regularly scheduled programming, and we will focus on that part of the redemptive story of God to remind ourselves of those important events in the life of the church. But today we're in Deuteronomy chapter 4, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 32. It says, "Ask now about the former days, long before your time. From the day God created man on the earth, ask from one end of the heavens to the other. Has anything so great as this ever happened, or has anything like it ever been heard of? Has any other people heard the voice of God speaking out of fire, as you have and lived? Has any God ever tried to take for himself one nation out of another nation by testings, by miraculous signs and wonders, by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, or by great and awesome deeds like all the things the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your very eyes? You were shown these things so that you might know that the Lord is God. Beside him there is no other. From heaven he made you hear his voice to discipline you. On earth he showed you his great fire, and you heard his words out of the fire. Because he loved your forefathers and chose their descendants after them, he brought you out of Egypt by his presence and by his great strength, to drive out before you nations greater and stronger than you, and to bring you into their land to give it to you for your inheritance as it is today. Acknowledge and take to heart this day that the Lord is God in heaven above and on earth below. There is no other. Keep his decrees and commands, which I am giving you today, so that it may go well with you and your children after you, and that you may live long in the land the Lord your God gives you for all time." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What is the most valuable sports card ever? In terms of what someone paid for it, what's the most valuable sports card ever in terms of what we know someone paid for it? Can you guess what sport it is? You would be wrong. It indeed is not baseball. That's what everybody thinks, right? Baseball cards. It's not baseball. It's not football. It's obviously what? Basketball. If I told you soccer or something, you'd be like, what? Lacrosse? No, it's basketball. It's an 07-08. I wrote this down so I would not mess this up. Upper Deck exquisite autographed logo man card. And it has two athletes on it. Can you guess who they are? Not LeBron James. Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant. There are a few things about the card that make it unique and valuable. Each of them autographed it. One of those individuals can no longer autograph things, correct? Right. It also has, did you all even know what the logo man is? It's that little NBA guy, right, that's on the jersey. So they take that off and they put that in the card. And how many of them are there in the world, do you think? One, right? So if you're designing something that's valuable, could you do any better than this, right? Two of the greatest people to ever play basketball, put them on it, get both of them to autograph it, put that little logo man patch on there, and only make one. How much do you think someone paid for that? $12.9 million. Right? This morning, May was like, that's like two lifetimes of money. I was like, May, I think you're being generous right now. I don't want to disappoint you on what's coming, right? But she like recognizes, like, that's a lot of money, is it not? And it's all because this card is one of one, and all those unique characteristics line up to make it valuable. The top three, I think I'm right. I know there's at least one real serious ball card collector in the sanctuary, so if I get this wrong, he'll correct me. I think the top three are all one of one. That's all you can, there's only one of them, and if you have it, it's up to you if you want to sell it or not. Now, you and I understand something like that when it is scarce and unique, then it's inherently valuable. And when the Lord chooses to reveal himself to his people, one of the things that he reminds them of about him is that he is one of one. That he alone is the Lord God. That he alone is the one who created the heavens and the earth. That he alone is the one who has revealed himself to his people. And there is meant to be, I think, within this passage, a reminder that you and I should not take God for granted. That you and I, if we're not careful, we get kind of going in the normal routines of life. And if we're not careful, we take God's presence and his revelation to us for granted. And I've been thinking about that a lot this week. I read Psalm 19 yesterday morning. Do you know what Psalm 19 says? The heavens declare the glory of God. That God all around us is proving himself to be a God who reveals himself. And I want you to think just for a moment what your life would be like if God had not revealed himself to you. If you were to get up in the morning and totally take God's presence or the reality that he exists out of your life, what would your life be like? And I think about my own life that so much of who I am, what I appreciate, what I enjoy, my vocation, is wrapped up in the reality of God's presence. That he is the only God in all of creation, and in his grace and his mercy, he has chosen to reveal himself to me. And if I think about what my life would be like if God had not done that, it is one of the most terrifying thoughts that I can think of. And as the Lord's getting the people of God ready to go into the promised land, and as he's preparing them to live in a land where they're not going to see this presence, the pillar of smoke by day and the pillar of fire by night, where they're not going to walk in kind of dependence upon him to provide for them every step of the way, that there is going to be this tendency in their heart to forget the importance of his presence in their lives. And they're going to be tempted to go after these other gods that they see. That God has chosen to not reveal himself through idols or things that you and I can see and touch, feel, right? But he's revealed himself to us in such a way that we can't touch him or see him, but his presence and his revelation in our lives is no less real because of that. And they would go into the promised land, and they're going to be surrounded still by these pagans who are going to be worshiping all these different idols who promise to deliver all the things that their hearts desire. Now, you and I, we don't live as aware of our need for God's presence and provision as perhaps some other people in the world do. This morning, I was up early as usual. Mark, I'm not coming to 10 o'clock worship. Lord willing, I'm in the bed by 9:30. Like, you are old. Yes, I am. I was up early this morning, and I listened to the Project 119 podcast, and I rushed it with the English folks like I always do, barring some tragedy in my life. And the lady leading worship this morning, do you know what she prayed and thanked the Lord for? She prayed and she thanked the Lord for the weather. And I would just submit to you that I don't always think to thank the Lord for something like that. Like the weather that makes life possible for us. I'm so removed from the source of my food, right? I would probably be more prone to thank the Lord for Piggly Wiggly or Publix. But the reality that barring God's gracious presence and provision for us, every step of the way and every day of our lives, you and I would be in this world and we would be without hope, and death for us would be the last word. And so Moses gives the people this really clear reminder that there is only one God in all of creation. And he has been so gracious as to reveal himself to his people. And as Moses is asking those questions, what God has ever, what God has ever, what God has ever, the rhetorical answer is what? No one. The answer that everybody understands is that there is no one who has done what God has done for his people. Do you remember when Pharaoh asked Moses that question, who is the Lord? He goes and he says, hey, the Lord has led me here to lead the people out of slavery. And he says, I don't even know him. Who is he? And it's as if you're reading the text, if you know the story, you're like, oh, you're about to find out. You're about to find out who the Lord is. As he calls his people out, as he provides for them, they didn't have to run from slavery, did they? Do you remember they walked out? Because God had revealed himself by his powerful hand and his outstretched arm, and there was no denying that God was present and that God had called them out. And why did he do it? Did you catch that in Deuteronomy chapter 4? Verse 37. He didn't do it because they were awesome. He didn't do it because they deserved it. He didn't do it because out of all the people on the face of the earth, they were the most righteous or impressive or biggest. He did it, why? Verse 37, because of what? Love. Because he, in his grace and his mercy, had set his love upon his people and elected their forefathers, and he is going to remain faithful to this covenant that he has made to them. And the response should be what on their part? Verse 40. Therefore you shall do what? Therefore you shall keep his statutes and his commandments that he's giving you today. Why? That you might experience the eternal and abundant life he would have for you to know in the land that he is providing for you. This God that is so gracious to reveal himself to his people, the only God in all creation, and call them out to be in a special covenant relationship with himself, to show them how they ought to experience life in this world, as they contemplate the uniqueness of his revelation to them, because he has set his love upon them, not because they're amazing, but because he loves them and he sets his grace and mercy on them, it ought to awaken in them this desire to obey him. And I want you to ask yourself the question, how often do you take the Lord for granted? How often do you take the Lord's presence in your life for granted? Because I'm an early riser, I often come to the church gym, and on my way back home, you know, it depends on what time of the year it is, okay? But sometimes I'm on South Brookwood Road, and I'm at the top of the hill. Do y'all know where I am? Some of you do. And I'm at the top of the hill, and I can see the sun rising. And it's really important question to ask myself, that every day should I assume that that will happen? That every day should I assume that God's going to wake me up and allow me to be a part of something like exercising or driving back or looking around and seeing all the beautiful things that he's revealed to me in creation? Should I take it for granted that I'll be able to read this word that he's given me in which he reveals himself, or the presence of his Holy Spirit? Should I take those things for granted, or should there be in my heart and my life this incredible gratitude that wells up in my heart to think that the God of all creation has chosen to reveal himself to me, not because I deserve it, but because he loves me, and he has set his covenant love upon me, and he's revealed himself most fully to me and to you in the person of Jesus Christ, who is a one of one. That he is the Son of God who came into the world and took on flesh for me. As the writer of Hebrews would say, long ago at many times God spoke to himself, to his people, through the prophets. But in these last days he's spoken to us how? In his Son. And he's come into the world and you and I get to live in this unique, special relationship with the one God of all creation who has redeemed us through faith in his Son. And there ought to fall upon us this sense of awe and gratitude, undeserved merit that God has extended to us that we might then walk in obedience and faithfulness to him. That there's only one God in all of creation, and the thing that makes us unique is not that we are really impressive. Like, as I look around this sanctuary, I love you all dearly. But here's the thing, we're all just normal people. That we're not righteous enough to earn God's favor, that we're not impressive enough, that no matter our degree or our diploma or our job or this thing that we do or some unique talent that we may have, that the only thing that separates us from all the people on the face of the earth is that God has graciously chosen to dwell here among with us by the power of his Spirit. That's what sets us apart as different. And as long as the world endures, as long as Mount Brook Baptist Church endures, the thing that will be essential here in this place is not one pastor or staff member or church member. The thing that will be essential and that will set us apart is that the one God of all creation has chosen to reveal himself to us. And so I hope that in your life, as the Lord's doing in my life, would be just to remind me of the value of this revelation. And maybe just this week we lean into this and we say, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for our Savior. Thank you that you've led us and shown us how to live our lives. Forgive us for taking you for granted. Help us to offer our lives to you in obedience as an act of worship. Pray the Lord would continue to be at work in our hearts and lives to help us see who he is, the value of his revelation to us, that our hearts would be melted to love and walk in obedience to him. I invite you to pray with me. God, we are so grateful for your revelation to us. That you are the one God of all creation. That you are our Savior, that you are our Redeemer, that you have revealed yourself to us in so many ways. Not least of which in the person of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So Lord, help us to remember the value of who you are. Help us to remember the difference that you make in our lives, and we pray that you would melt our hearts to love you more faithfully, to live more obediently to who you call us to be, that we might fulfill our mission to be a people holy and set apart, that others might come to experience the same grace and mercy in Jesus. We offer this prayer in his holy name. Amen. If you're here this morning and you've never publicly professed your faith in Christ and you feel like God's calling you to do that or to unite with us and be a member here at Mount Brook Baptist Church, I'll be at the front to receive you as we stand together and sing.